Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. Let's pray. Now, Father, when we come to this subject of prayer, we may have our concepts of prayer. We may have our failures in prayer. We may have our lack of prayer and whatever. But I do pray that when we leave today, we would have some kind of concept of what prayer is. And you may stretch us like we've never been stretched before. But we ask that you teach us, Holy Spirit, what do we need to know from the Father about this subject of prayer? We might just all confess to you right now, we don't pray enough. But we are now asking you to speak to us in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I have got into something that has probably stretched me like nothing has ever stretched me in the subject of prayer, in studying this and doing this on prayer. I'm going to start off by reading you a few little statements, and then we'll jump into this sort of an introduction. I titled this A Theology of Prayer. I gave this January 4th in 2015, a year ago then. In these words of Jesus, if seeking is prayer, then finding is the answer. If knocking is prayer, then having the door opened to us is God's answer to prayer. Having the door opened, we seek, then we find. If seeking is prayer, then finding is the answer. If knocking is prayer, then having the door opened is prayer. That's God's answer. There's not a hint here that a Christian should expect God to say no or wait a while. It could be a little stretching in our prayers, couldn't it? John 16:24, Jesus said, ask and ye shall receive. Here, if asking is prayer, then receiving is the answer. In James 4:2, we're told that ye have not because ye ask not. If asking is prayer, then God's word says that having is the answer to prayer. Dr. Charles A. Branchard, in Getting Things from God, and I don't have that book, has helped me greatly on this matter in his chapter on what is an answer to prayer. I don't know where I got this, but all I have is this little sheet with these two pages on it, and then there's some more things. So let's jump into this, and we're going to get into it by just probably looking at a lot of general things, and then later this afternoon we'll go into more things and hopefully get through the Lord's Prayer. Okay, theology of prayer. By Jesus Christ. It's His Word. Definition of prayer is to supplicate. It's also worshiping. To worship the Lord. Oswald Chambers says it's an effort of the will. And I say, in what I've been learning, it is to make contact. Prayer is to make contact, real prayer. And verse 6, Jesus says, secret prayer. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret. Shouldn't have long prayers in public, for sure, I don't think, even though sometimes that's done. Done in secret, best place. And God says what? He will reward openly, which is in secret. Thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. But he needs to be your Father. If he's not, you need to be saved and let him be your Father. Then you can say, our Father, which art in heaven. Prayer can be sin. It can be sin. Look at verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Oh, that's sin. And also in verse 7, sin can be vain repetitions. But when you pray, use not vain repetitions, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. So all these Hail Marys may not do much good that are given by Catholics. Done in secret, rewarded openly, can be sin, high Christ, vain repetitions, and it can be self-worship. Here comes the old Jew. He's wandering down the street, and he just happens to get to the corner at 9 o'clock. Our Father! And everybody, there he is. Every day, 9 o'clock, he's going to say his prayers out on the corner so he can impress everybody. All right. Martin Lloyd-Jones says, prayer is a state of the heart. It is a disposition. And it's, by definition, it is a predominant or prevailing tendency of the heart. It's a predominant thing in your life. A prevailing thing is something that you would do regularly, just like you might do anything else regularly. And all kinds of things about prayer, we know that. Pray without ceasing, different things. when or where? 5, 6, and 7, Jesus is covering this subject in an interesting way. Let me give you another quote from Mr. Jones. The highest picture that you can ever have of man is to look at him on his knees, waiting upon God. That is the highest achievement of man. It is his noblest activity. Man is never greater than when he is there in communion and contact with God. If there's one word I want to leave with you today, it is contact. When you pray, make sure you make contact. That doesn't mean you pray till you hear God speak from heaven, okay, you're done. But the Spirit of God has brought you into contact with God, and it's something you've got to do by faith. You know, by faith, He's heard you. You have come there with a sincere heart, clean heart, and you have prayed. Great men of prayer, Moses, Abraham, Apostle Paul, all these great men of prayer have many lessons for us. So I'm going to give you some principles. I'm just going to buzz through and get some principles here to get us ready for some deeper things. The Sermon on the Mount is deep sea diving. We're not water skiing unless you just want to speed read through it. But there's a lot of deep sea diving. First principle here, when a man is supposed to be at his best, he could be at his worst because he could be focused on himself. And that's what Jesus said. Don't be like the hypocrites. They're focused on themselves. It's all for themselves. When you go to prayer for God, God can take care of yourself. Make contact with God. I've got these areas that I'm going to try to cover with you. Approaching God would be the next one, and then the will of God. And we'll just go as far as we can probably today in this area. But just sort of slip into it with some general things. So it can be bad. And of course, we probably all heard somebody preaching at somebody else. Look around on that one. in your prayer. You know? I've heard it done. I might have even done it. Wow. Or you come to church and you know the preacher's preaching at you. Okay, second principle. Actually, praying is praying your thoughts back to God, whether out loud or in your mind. God can read either one. Second principle, sin is something that follows us even into the very presence of God. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. We should come in humbly, because we know that we are not perfect and there may be something there. And so the Jews, they had some wrong ways to pray. And that's what Jesus is picking out on, the wrong ways. Formality in prayer, third principle. Formality in prayer can be no different than saying a rosary or like a Mohammedan, pagans, or Jewish hypocrites that Jesus is talking about. Formality in prayer can be no different. A number of years ago, I went with one of my men in the church. He worked for the city, and the city had a day of prayer. And so we went to the prayer breakfast, and something happened that just sort of really turned me off, made me sick. The mayor got up and prayed, and he talked about, and he opens up for the meetings in prayer, and he talks about our Father, the Father. And I'd like to find where he goes to church. But anyway, he is pro-gay, pushes that, and we, as some of us in the city, we've gone there, we've had meetings, we've gone to council meetings, we've gone to the big meetings and everything, because they're trying to turn over the city. They had an ordinance that they almost passed, and we barely got it through by 2% that would have put the whole city under the dominion of this horrible thing. Even our church that met there in town, we would move out of town. Just the things that... There was one lawyer. I met with him. I was with him a couple times, a good Christian lawyer. He said he ran this thing through 15 lawyers, and they all said it's unconstitutional. There's going to be a big fight if they pass this ordinance that he was pushing this. And so when he got up and prayed, man, your Father's not the same as mine. I love these people, but you're going to turn the city over to them. Okay. The Shema here, Deuteronomy 6, you know that. The hearing, one of the things that we want to do is we want to make contact with God. Malachi 2:17, ye have wearied the Lord with your words and much speaking. We don't want to wear God out. He's not going to get wore out, but we want to make contact. You can get up, and here comes the Jew out to the corner, and he recites this morning prayer, evening prayer, every day, same thing. What has he accomplished? Probably not a thing, and we could be the same way if we're not careful. It could be a form. It's got to be heartfelt. Even saying our graces before meal. Our Father, we thank you for this food you've given to us. We thank you for this nice day. And we're grateful for all the blessings you've given us. Okay, pass the gravy, pass the biscuits. You know, pass it in. Boy, the biscuits are cold. One little boy, after he heard his dad give thanks, the dad was complaining about everything. And then he said, Daddy?
Yes, son.
Did God hear your prayer?
Go to your room.
Whoa, hypocritical praying.
Ooh, I don't like that.
You just gave thanks for it. Eat it. Yeah. Oh, dear. Okay, the Wailing Wall. Some of you have probably been to the Wailing Wall. They got a big deal going over in Jerusalem right now because of the Wailing Wall. You know that. You're going to have Third World War about it going on over there. But the rocking and saying their prayers, and they put the little piece of paper up in the cracks and everything. There's lots of stuff that goes on in the prayer. You can see some guy over here doing yoga, you know. He's making contact, but I don't know if he's making contact with God. Because the thing in the spiritual realm, you can make contact with the wrong God. these spirits want to get in and commune with you. So you need to be careful who you're making contact with. And so basically when you come to prayer, we can't be like that publican and the Pharisee. We're in no position to criticize if we don't at least pray for them. The unsaved, I heard a story one time about a man in the factory. He professed to be a Christian, and when he come to break, he would try to share Christ for other to others and everything, say his prayers for his meal and everything. And finally, one of the men got tired of it, of him being the Christian there. And I'm not saying he was all that bad and whatever, but he asked him a question. I can't remember the name in that story or whatever, but just say Jack. Say, Jack, do you believe in prayer? Well, yes, I do. Do you believe that I'm going to die and go to hell without Christ? Well, yes, I do. And he took him through a few things. Do you believe you should pray for lost people? Well, I do. He says, have you prayed for me? He said, well, yes, I have prayed for you. He says, have you ever spent a night in prayer for me? No. Have you ever spent an hour in prayer for me? He said, no. Have you ever spent 10 minutes in prayer for me? He said, no. And he shut the Christian down. If we're going to open our mouth, we better be careful. Do we care enough to pray? And so, could just be a form. We got our prayer lists and everything. Say our grace before meals. But it is an essential part of life, and Jesus is trying to teach us some things here. prayer was an essential part of the synagogue service. They had their times to pray. They had a prayer, essential part of one part of, bring us back to thy law, O our Father, bring us back to thy service, bring us back to thee by true repentance. Praise be thou, O Lord, who dost accept our repentance. Then they went out that day and crucified Jesus. Did they make contact? Not hardly. Contact. Prayers of all kinds of occasions. They had prayers for lighting the lights, prayers for the new moon, prayers for the rain, prayers for good news, prayers you enter the city, prayers you leave the house, enter the house. They had prayers for everything. But did they make contact? Do we make contact? Fourth principle, I did give you the third one, didn't I? Yeah, third one is formality in prayer can be no different than saying a rosary or whatever. The fourth principle is everything happening in life should be brought into the presence of God by prayer. We should have God involved in everything we do. Everything. Continue in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving, Colossians 4:2. Pray without ceasing. There's a stretcher for you, but actually God said, just walk with me. Drive down the road, see a house, pray for him. Pass cars, pray for him. I got temptation, pray. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Luke 18:1. Got so many people running to their counselors and whatever, and probably if they had a better prayer life, they wouldn't have to do that. Luke 18. Let's go over there and pick up on a little story. Luke 18:1. And he spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint, saying, there was in a city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterwards he said within himself, though I fear not God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. And the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Your faith is about as strong as your prayer life. And our prayer life will be an expression of our faith. And so men ought always to pray and not to faint. Pray without ceasing, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, and everything give thanks. To me, the deepest theological verse in the Bible. Wow. You have to trust God in everything that He understands what's going on. Fifth principle. This one for myself, I've sort of inculcated into my life, and it's this, that if whatever is not covered by prayer, I'm responsible for. But whatever I lay out to God in prayer, I've given it to Him. And so I try to pray through my day, whatever, you know, you don't know everything that's going to happen. So Lord, cover all the things I don't know that's going to happen. But if I know I'm going to speak, or you know you're going to go somewhere, you're going to see somewhere, pray about it. You don't have to take 15 hours and pray about it. Just go through your day and pray about it. Set times for prayer. If we can do that, it really helps. Of course, the Jews, 9 o'clock, I'm at the corner. He had his set times and whatever else during the day. The disciples in Acts 3, at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, so that was the time, ninth hour, they're going up there to pray. And of course, they're going along to go pray, and they're not so legalistic-minded that they can't stop and help somebody. There's a beggar there, he's lame, and I'm sorry, guy, I would love to help you out, but I got a prayer appointment with God. God bless you, help you out. And we can't be so legalistic-minded, but instead, he's just an old poor Baptist preacher, Peter is, and he said, well, man, silver and gold, I don't have any, but what I've got, I'll give it to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise and walk. Jerks him up, and off he goes. See you, buddy, we're going to prayer. Come on and join us. Your prayer life should have some power backing it up in your life of God working and evidence working. Of course, you know, if that didn't work out, Peter's going to get a lawsuit. But prayer sort of encourages our faith, and faith will work together and encourage our prayer. I heard a story about a Mohammedan chasing another Mohammedan and just about got the knife up, and then they hear the call to prayer. You know? I don't remember how that turned out, but if I was the one running, I would blow it right there and keep running, wouldn't you? But that story was given that I don't know if it really happened, but that was how intense they are. They got the, if you go through St. Louis, coming up here, I looked over to the right. There was that little skinny tower up there. You don't want to move in your neighborhood. They would do that 5 times a day. When I lived over in Turkey, went to town or whatever, you'd hear that guy get up there and holler out their prayers 5 times a day. Set places for prayer. The rabbis, they had this story that they'd come up with the idea that prayer was only efficacious or effective only if it was offered in the temple or at the synagogue. I don't know if that was true or whatever, but it was a really good idea how to keep church attendance up. You know, you could only pray here in the synagogue to make sure everybody shows up for church, you know. And there is a problem sometimes we think that, like worshiping a building or worship a system or whatever, but you can pray anywhere. And you do real good praying if you're hanging off of a cliff on a branch or something. You know, your prayer life's going to really increase. But, if you prayed about that morning, you might not have slipped and fell over the edge. Long prayers. One rabbi, Levi, said, whoever is long in prayer is heard. That could be doubted, couldn't it? But the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:2, let thy words be few. So we might put that in there. So, this passage here that the Lord has in 7, but when ye pray, and that's probably one of them warning words. When you pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they shall be heard. So the Lord's really drilling in on something that's probably predominant in their day. Just something that went on a lot. Let me just slip down through here. Sixth principle. If you're wrong in your prayer life, somebody said, if you're wrong in your prayer life, you'll probably be wrong in your personal life. So it might help our personal life, give us more victory, take away more, get away that from that discouragement, keep us from being so self-focused maybe so much on this or problems or whatever. But in the corners, he talked about the corners. Versus the closet. The Lord seemed to really have a lot of emphasis on that private prayer. He's saying he wants you to make contact with him. Make contact with God. He's your Father if you're a Christian. If you're not, you need to become a Christian. Because when we get to heaven, we have all eternity, we're contacted. There's some things that you won't be able to do up there that we can do here. You won't be able to witness to lost people anymore or even pray for them. Won't have to pay taxes anymore. All right. In thy closet. Representation of being a prayer warrior. There was some kind of conference somewhere. Mr. Jones shared this story and I remember it. And there was some kind of emphasis on prayer. Maybe he used the same passage. And right after the conference, this guy went up there, climbed up on a rock and started praying out loud. People couldn't believe it. He's doing just what the Lord Jesus said don't do. Okay, that was the sixth. The seventh I have written down. The prayer. Or whatever, I'm trying to read one of my words here. Prayer and listeners. Okay, the prayer and the listeners should only be conscious of God when we're in prayer. So it's conscious of God, concentration, seventh principle, eighth principle. Effective prayer makes contact with God, and that's the whole thing I'm talking about. And sometimes, you know, to make contact with God, it takes some time. It just takes some time, like pray and hide. When he's going to pray for this brother, 5 minutes is a long time to be quiet and be still. But the man was watching and he knew when pray and hide had made contact with God. You know how he knew? He saw tears begin to come down his eyes. And then when he prayed, heaven came down. So effective prayer makes contact with God. Ninth principle. When it becomes mechanical, we've ruined the whole thing. So we have to watch out for that. We have to really make sure it's not just mechanical. When we pray, what do you want? The hypocrites want to be seen by everybody, so they got what they wanted. And that's what the Lord said. So when you're praying, you want to make contact with God. You want to do something. Maybe I was listening to a tape a number of years ago while I was doing some work on my father-in-law's house. I was out caulking windows or painting or something. I can't remember. And I was listening to a message by David Wilkerson. And David shared how he had just spent some time praying with God, praying about all these different needs. And when he's done, he's fixing to go. God spoke into his spirit and he said, "Are you done?" And David Wilkerson said, "I was done, but I knew I wasn't done. And the Lord has spoken to his heart and he said, would you just stay here and spend some time with me? Just fellowship with me." You know, God is a person. He feels. And so sometimes we're just so busy asking God for this, bless this, protect me from that, you know, help me get off from work early, make the boss give me more money and all this stuff, and heal the kids that are sick, you know, and all this stuff. But just to get into the presence of God and just to enjoy Him and worship Him and focus on Him. Pray, look at the attributes of God and praise and thank Him. He's a person. So what do you want? All we want is our answers. We just have a broom closet God. Maybe we just run there when we need something. Great while before day. Jesus would go up and pray. My house shall be called the house of prayer. They'd made it a den of thieves. Six things. Let me go through these six things. One, prayer should be for private communion. Priority to have communion with God. Not just to use God, but to use Him. And so the Lord said, enter thy closet, shut the door. Just shut the door, shut off. And it's really hard sometimes. You've got so many things to do. You know, all the chores, you know. And that's where we come back to husbands and older children might be able to have to help mom. Maybe have at least a half an hour a day just to have some quiet and peace. Maybe in the middle of the day even. Hey, mom, go to your closet. We'll watch things for you. Might worry her, but wonder what they're doing. It's getting awful quiet out there. I better go see before they blow up the house. But just do some things to help people pray that are very busy. Shut out everything. Shut the door and pray to thy Father. Romans 8:15, we cry, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. Abi. Kashpada, Abi, that was a friend, and also Abba was Father. That's a very well-known used word in that world. And then the fourth thing, so you enter into your closet, he said, and then you shut the door, then you pray to your Father, then you ask. You ask. Then there's a fifth thing. You believe. You have confidence in Him. He that comes to God must believe that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Just dumping your requests off. No, you request, and then we're going to get into praying according to the will of God. If any man... like confidence, let them ask of God. You need some confidence, you go. And we'll get over to 1 John 5:14 about asking in the will of God a little bit later on. So I won't go there now. And so we receive. In our prayers, we can make a prayer beautiful to impress. We can make a prayer to inform God about all the things He already knows about. Try to convince Him of our way and our needs or whatever, or we can use prayer to accuse the brethren, somebody to slander and whatever, all these things. And the Lord says, your Father knoweth. Verse 9, after this manner, therefore, pray ye our Father. Verse 8, He talks about His Father through there. He starts off talking about the Father in verse 8. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things you have need of before you ask. This is why it's very important that we want to ask for things that will glorify God, that will be according to His will, so that we can receive. James 4:1, you have not, because you ask not, then you're going to ask for that just because you want to consume it upon your own lust. No, you don't need a new Rolls Royce. Be happy with your Volkswagen. You know? So we get into some of those areas. So your Father knoweth. Tenth principle, they had never addressed God as Father before. That's a unique thought, isn't it? But Jesus gave us the possibility to connect with God. Never addressed Him. And then something else just in this thing, throw it out there. He knows our motives. He knows what our heart is in prayer. I heard a story about Ms. Judson. Ms. Judson, she was reading the Sermon on the Mount. And there was a Brahmin there, one of the Indians there, listening to that. And he said, these words touch my heart. They make me tremble. He said, our religion, we make a great noise with drums and cymbals, but these words touch my heart and they make me tremble. They reached, he made contact. Word of God made contact. Some concluding observations here. Number one, what is making contact? It's being rewarded openly. That's what the Lord said, being rewarded openly. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Paul had made contact with God, and he was confident. He knew there was a crown of righteousness. And Revelation, and behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be. So working for God and making contact with God and praying and fellowship, and He's got some rewards for us and for suffering and serving that we've done to Him. So it's being rewarded openly. Our prayers and getting prayers answered and all kinds of things. But also a very practical thing about prayer, and this is a big deal, is having our needs met. But my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. And so it's a very practical thing, and He wants us to come to Him. Ever heard somebody say, well, I don't want to bother God. You got some kind of ailment or whatever, and you don't want to bother God, but you don't mind bothering the doctor, you know, but maybe God wanted to heal your sore toe or whatever. But it's having our needs met. But here's a big thing about it, and I think God really, this is an important thing. He wants communion. He wants us to have communion with Him. This is why sometimes we can have things distracting us, being so busy or whatever, so God may allow something to happen so we have a little bit more time with Him. One preacher, he was so busy he didn't have time to pray, and so something happened after he laid on his back for 6 months. He had a whole new view on life. So it's not a bop in and hop out of relationship. This 11th principle, it's a continual walking with Christ that brings forth fruit. But it gets answers. That's what I started off with this thing. Asking is receiving. Seeking is finding. Knocking is having the door opened. And so there's some things to pray in about praying right. What is asking? John 16:24. Let's go there. Theology of prayer. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Almost sounds like a blank check, doesn't it? Pretty close to it. He wants us to be joyful. And so it's receiving. Asking is receiving. It's being rewarded. It's getting your prayers answered. Asking in Jesus' name means asking according to His will. Nope. That's not my will. And He will convict you. That is selfish. You know. And it's, so that's it. This is probably the key thing about it. And it's asking according to His will. And so, sometimes you have to get in the Word and seek God and really know what is going on before you can really ask in faith and ask in confidence. John 7:17, it says, if any man would do His will, he shall know of the doctrine. And if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, he heareth. John 9:31. The first one is John 7:17. John 9:31. If any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, he heareth. Being a worshiper of God and praying go together. If you're not a worshiper of God, then don't bother to pray. John R. Rice has got a wonderful book, Prayer is Asking. And asking is receiving, remember? Wonderful book. Wonderful book. And of course, we know the stories about Mueller, and this one you probably all heard, how he was going to an appointment on a ship, and the fog settled in, and they couldn't make it, and he told the captain he had never missed an appointment. This is prayer, making contact with God. And so they went down and prayed, and George Mueller prayed, and then the captain was fixing to pray, hold it, you don't need to pray. You don't believe that God's going to do this, and I believe God's already done it. Look out the window. Oh, the fog's gone. That is walking with God, and that is prayer. So, asking according to the will of God. Mueller knew it was God's will for him to get to that conference and speak there or wherever he was going. And this is the confidence. Listen, here's, and this is the confidence, John 5:14-15, that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what? He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Want me to read it to you in the Greek? Here you go. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. Want it in Turkish? Forget it, I don't know just enough. But isn't that an amazing verse? Wow, you could paddle upstream with that one. The upstream of life, the struggles and the things that you have. Prayer was the life of the early church. You go through the book of Acts. And I believe the church, everything that we do, should come out of prayer. A lot of times we'll have a meeting. Okay, we'll pray, God bless our meeting. Then we'll close. Well, God bless the meeting we had. Here's our decision we made. Bless our decision. But we should pray and seek and run things back and forth and really concentrate on it and really know that that's the will of God, so that when we do ask His blessing, we know it is His will. We make our decisions. So, Matthew 7. This is just a little run-by on these verses, 5, 6, and 7. You have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your own lust. And asking. I'll say this last little thing here. Believe God. Now here's one thing about the answering part, is that sometimes God is maybe going to answer in a way we didn't think. You know? He's just going to surprise you. Now to Him that's able to do exceedingly above all that you ask or think or whatever. I'll close up with this little story. Years ago, when we were poor as dirt and had moved into a town where the revival continued a few years later, in a town where I set a pastor up and 1,000 people had prayed. And I tell you that story. Burlington had to write a new statement because guys were getting saved and turning in all this stuff. But we didn't have much. Because I went in there and got a house. We prayed for this house in the country. In this town, you couldn't find a house in the country because all these rich railroaders wanted to live outside of town, live in the country. But we prayed. We got together with the pastor and a couple other elders, whatever. We prayed that God would give us a house in the country to live in. And that was just like, it's going to really take a miracle. And because there were people. We went to a house that we would drive from the ranch into town. It was 3 miles outside of town. And there's nobody living in it at that time, and somehow or another we found out it was an available house, went and talked to the owner, and she said, no, there's, I don't know how many people, 10, 15, 20 people that were on, wanted this house, and there's one guy that was going to get it, and he's fixing to move in. And he'd been waiting a long time. And okay, I think I gave her my phone number. Called me back next day or a few days later and said, would you like this house? This guy, his brother, got caught in a train and got his leg smashed and whatever. He's got to help his brother. He can't move in. And somehow or another, I've lost the list of all those other people. What luck, right? God is able to do it. God is able to do it. Remind me later on, I'll tell you the $5,000 story. Okay, let's pray. Lord, thank You that You are able. You are able. And You want us weak so You can be strong. You want us to pray so You can get the glory with the answers. Bless our time here. Bless the fellowship and all that goes on here in Jesus' name. Amen.